It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 38. We're going to begin reading with the 8th verse today, so Exodus chapter 38, verse 8. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. We're going to begin reading now with Exodus chapter 38, verse 8. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it brass, of the looking glasses of the woman as assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he made the court on the side of on the south side southward. The hangings of the court were of fine twined linen, 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20. The hooks and the pillars and their fillets were of silver, and of the south side the hangings were 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their sockets of brass 20, and the hooks of the pillars of their fillets of silver. For the west side were hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10, and their sockets 10, and the hooks of the pillars of their fillets of silver. And for the east side eastward, 50 cubits, and the hangings of one side of the gate were 50 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And for the other side of the court gate, on this hand and that hand, were hangings of 50 cubits, 15 cubits, and their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And the hangings of the court round about were of fine twined linen, and the sockets of the pillars were of brass, and the hooks of the pillars of the fillets of silver, and the overlaying of their capiters of silver, and all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. We're going to stop with the reading there with the 17th verse, and please, let's begin with prayer as always. Father, we thank and praise you that we come today. We can enjoy this study. Please that you will guide and lead us today. Show us your way. Show us your will. I just thank you, dear Father, for this opportunity to open your word and to study it and to have such a wonderful time together. I thank you for all that are listening today, and I ask that your perfect will be done, that those do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today that they will trust in you, that please they'll come by faith to you today. And those, dear Father, that do know you, that they will begin today a closer walk to you. I don't care, dear Father, how close they are, how much they have served you. There is always room for a one step closer. And so each and every one of us, dear Father, need to realize that we're going to grow each and every day. And so as we grow through this day, we just praise you, dear Father, for your strength, for your leadership, for the wisdom that you give us, for the love that you show to us. Oh, it's such a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. So please today, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at the incense altar, lampstand, the incense altar, the oil that goes in the lamps, the oil that goes for the incense altar, the table of showbread. We've looked at the mercy seat. We've looked at the Ark of the Covenant. We have now found ourselves down to the altar of burnt offering, which is the big altar that's out front in the courtyard area, and now we come to the brass laver. And so each of those items, or these items that we've talked about, have been in previous chapters. For instance, the Ark of the Covenant was back in chapter 25, mercy seat was in 25, table showbread in 25, lampstand in chapter 25, the incense altar was in chapter 30. The anointing oil was in chapter 30. We have this altar of burnt offering was in chapter 27, and now we find this laver of brass is in chapter 30. And so all these areas we have already studied and looked at, but God chose to give two different times, the time that Moses received it and then the time that it was built. And so he has given a special direction, special strength to build this this magnificent building for the purpose of a place where God will come and meet with these people, with his people, the Israelites. And so what a wonderful example we have here. And you know, God has given us the local church for a place of assembly. This here wasn't really a place of assembly because there was, you know, there was no preacher standing up, there was no pews, there was no place for folks to come and sit and listen to the proclaiming of the Word of God. And yet, what a plan God has put together to give us a picture of our Savior and a picture of the cross. We looked at that a couple of times back. And then also, it also is the steps of a believer. And so we have kind of stepped our way backward. We started with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, and then come backwards through the veil into the holy place, from the Holy of Holies to the holy place, and now we're out into the courtyard. And so this courtyard we are looking at here, and it is in the next section there, the ninth verse. But first in this courtyard is, according to the eighth verse, also a laver of brass. And so we have two pieces of furniture in the courtyard area. One is the altar of burnt offering. And so the brazen altar is also referred to. Brass always refers to judgment. And so we're out in the courtyard, and when you come through the gate, you come to that first. Then next is this brazen, this laver of brass. We're going to read the eighth verse here, and I want you to, and you probably picked up on it, we have made reference from time to time where this special brass came from. And he made the laver of brass and the foot of brass of the looking glasses of the women as assembling. Women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Looking glasses, they're mirrors. They're mirrors. What a wonderful picture here of something that probably many folks have missed. You think, what in the world does this have to do with this laver? Well, when you really want to take a good look at yourself, I mean, just really take a good look. You go into the bathroom or possibly into your bedroom or someplace where you have a mirror, and you just stare yourself down. You look right into that mirror. And you know, most of the time, we're just not real pleased with what we see. We see this blemish. We see this problem. We have, went to, now we have to wear glasses all the time, and now we have to use a hearing aid. Just things in our life. Our body, physical body, is dying, and it has been, and we need to understand that. So when we look into this this mirror, what it shows us is all of our faults. All of our physical faults. It shows it very clearly. The better the light, the better the mirror, the greater the deficiencies, the more that we see of things that just are not right. Boy, I didn't see that wrinkle yesterday. And so it just kind of begins there. And you know, everything that we have in our life and our body, life takes its toll. If you've had to work outside a lot and been in the sun a lot, why, it has taken its toll. You know, I have fought with the same thing with the skin cancer because of working outside so much and being around. And you just need to really understand our old body. It just, the older it gets, it just doesn't work as well, nor does it look as well as what we think it should look. You know, it's an honor to be old and in the Lord. We put way too much effort in, too much emphasis upon our looks, and that's the reason that we have this done and have that done and get ourselves all made up so that we look, 20 years younger than we really are. Let's let our speech and our actions and our life be pleasing unto the Lord, and let Him honor us with what we're doing to honor and glorify Him. Now, let's get back to this. So we've looked at the mirror, and I'm looking into the mirror, and what does this have to do with this laver here? Well, if you remember, we have talked about the different things. The brazen altar in the front stands for where the offering, the sacrifice was offered. It stands for the cross. It stands for where Jesus died and took our sin away. What a beautiful picture that is. Then we come to the laver. Now this piece of furniture, as the brazen altar in the front, both are made of brass. And so as we look at this second piece of furniture now, the one that's the closest to the tabernacle, going into the holy place and on into the Holy of Holies, we see something here that we have spoke all the time, the washing of the Word. Now, that has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a free gift handed to us by our Savior. We just need to accept it. We need to accept. There need to be a time in your life when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. There's got to be a day that you have done that. It's not something that just evolved because you've always been raised in a religious family. Your parents say, I'm saved, and so you have come up with all the words, but you don't remember the day that the Holy Spirit came to live within you. That is a day that you'll never forget. Now, you maybe don't have it as a certain date. In other words, April 30th or January 10th, in a certain year. Maybe you don't even have the year, but you'll remember the event. You'll remember the event. I remember where I was saved. I remember halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house, I got down on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. And I have not been the same since. What a wonderful, glorious day that was. But it was a glorious day because it was a day my sins were taken away. It was a day that the Holy Spirit came to live within me. But that was just the beginning of my life. You know, sometimes you ask for folks' testimony and they'll stand up and for 40 years they'll say, the day I got saved was the greatest day of my life. Well, my friend, yesterday was the greatest day of my life. And today, if I see it all the way through, will be the greatest day, because every day that the Lord gives us saved, what a day it is to live. What a day it is to honor our God and praise our God and lift Him up. And so please, my friend, understand how great it is to be a child of God. All right, we've got the cross there. That's where that was dealt with, our sin. Now we come to this laver. Well, my friend, when Jesus saved me, He gave me a new heart. The Holy Spirit came to live within me, but I still had my old body. We've been talking about this mirror and this looking glass, and you look into that mirror and, how much less hair do you have today than you had yesterday? Today you're wearing glasses. Yesterday you weren't. There's so many things. Today you've gained a cane. Yesterday you didn't have it. Today you've gained a walker. Yesterday you didn't have it. Well, my friend, that's the old flesh. That old flesh is dying. But our heart can be so young and so strong and so excited because we know that when we leave this life, there is another to gain, and it is going to be perfect and no pain and no suffering. And so the older we get, the more decrepit, the more beat up and our body becomes, and yet the more exciting it becomes, because our heart knows we're just one day closer to our Lord. What a day. What a glorious day to live in. And so I hope that you enjoy today, but this old flesh needs some help. And so that's what this laver's for. This laver is for a cleansing. Now, we're never going to be perfect. You know, some places, some churches preach that you can be sanctified holy. That means perfect. Well, that's not so. It is not so. There is nothing you can ever do on this earth to be perfect. In God's eyes, yes, because you're born again, and all God the Father sees is that precious blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus. So made perfect, yes, wonderful in God's eyes. But in the flesh now, we still have the old flesh. So we still have trouble with the flesh. And we're still walking around this old cursed earth. And when you walk through the dirt, you're going to pick some dirt up. Well, we need to clean that dirt off. And that's a daily affair. Salvation is a one-time deal. But the cleansing is an everyday affair. It, depending on how dirty that you get each day, and say that you go for a week, and now you decide, okay, I'm going to come to church, and you hear the Word of God, you know what? We're probably not going to get all that dirt off of you. You need to be washing up every day. And probably the person that's sitting next to you at church didn't appreciate you not cleaning up through the week either. We need to do it every day. We need to do it every day. And the more that we're in God's Word, and the more we search it, and the more we listen to His Spirit as He speaks to us through His Word, the cleaning process takes place. And again, it's not something that is done through communion that you take on a weekly or a monthly or quarterly time. Many people have that thought that it's through taking the communion, and that's not so. This laver is where the cleaning is at. The laver is where the washing is. And the washing is by the Word. Back to the looking glasses. What a better way for us to see ourselves than to have a mirror. We look into the mirror, and that's what the Holy Scripture does for each one of us when we truly get into it. People are so busy trying to find a Bible that's easy to read. Stay, my friend, with the King James. Don't worry about the different words and things like that, because, my friend, we're going to study the Word of God. We're not going to just read it. We're going to study it. And when you study it, that means that we're going to read through this section, and then we're going to look up any words that come in question that we don't quite understand. And when we do that, we're going to use a Strong's Concordance, and you can look up the Greek or the Hebrew, whichever it applies to, whether it's be the New Testament or the Old, and then you'll have a fuller understanding. Now, the new versions many times will take, and oftentimes will take, a word from the Strong's Concordance, from the Greek or the Hebrew, one word that maybe meets with our language a little better, so we understand it a little better. You think, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that most of the time, there's not just one word that will give us the full meaning, the full definition. And so, for us to look it up and see all these words that it takes in the Greek or the Hebrew to really explain this one word, just to help us to make it so much fuller and so much greater for us. That's the reason I just prefer that you stay with the King James. Spend your time studying and not searching out to see, is this Bible better than the last one? Oh, I've heard reports. I think it's good. It's sure easier to read. Well, are you just back to reading now and not to studying? So, my friend, just stay with the King James. If you've left it, return to it. And you say, oh, Larry, I just can't read it. Again, you can study it. I guarantee you can study it. And so, don't worry about getting through 50 verses of Scripture. Let's worry about understanding 4 or 5. And then we can take a look at those. Now, this laver, I open up my King James Bible, And I look at that those words, and I search those words, and I may be in the book of Exodus. This week I may be in the book of Exodus. I'll be in the book of Job. I will be in the book of 1 Peter. I will be in the book of Romans. And each time I'm in those areas just with studies that we have, not to mention cross-references and other reading, enjoyable reading that I do with the Word of God. Now, when I say reading, I mean studying, because I just love to read the Word of God. And that's because my whole side is studying. I study. I want to know my God, and I want to know what He expects of me. And when I come to His Word, I guarantee you I get scrubbed. And when I look down into that laver, if I walked up to that laver right now and I'd look into that, you know what I'd see? I would see me. I would see my old flesh. I'd see my old face. And it shows me every false that I have. And that's the reason most people don't study the Word of God. That's the reason most people would buy a different version and can casually read it, because, my friend, it doesn't get down to the cleaning. It doesn't get down to the scrubbing. What a reminder for the folks as they came to this laver, knowing that it came from these mirrors of the women. That's where it came from. Now, some of these things, you know, may have been possessions they had, and maybe some of the things they got from the Egyptian women. I guarantee you those ladies had mirrors, because they fancied themselves up. And so they had mirrors. But they took those mirrors, and it was polished brass. And they molded that into the base of this. And so when you come and you look into this bowl of water, you're looking right at yourself, and you're seeing that reflection right back at you. And we shouldn't like what we see, because there is always improvements to be made, always. And so, what a picture. So we have the altar out front. We take care of our sin there as far as our relationship with God. Then we got the old flesh to deal with. So let's come in, and we're walking through this dirt, and we're picking this dirt up. So the more often that we go and wash, the easier it is to get it off. You know, you get dirty first thing in the morning, and then you work hard all day, and that old dirt gets ground in. Well, it takes a while to get it off. Well, let's go for a week. Let's go for a month. Let's go for a year and not do any cleaning. I'll tell you what, that's a sad thing, because you get to stink for a little while, my friend. And so we need to see that we come often to the Word of God, and that we come often to this cleansing process. So please, that we do that. Now, that's one verse, the eighth verse, and that's all we've really covered today. But what a picture. What a picture. All right, let's walk through that courtyard. Let's come to that brazen altar, and let's get on our knees and trust Jesus as our Savior. Now, let's go to the laver. Now, that altar's a one time, but that laver is day after day after day, as going into the table of showbread to feed then. See, the cleaning has got to take place before the feeding can begin. And the feeding can begin because we have cleansed ourselves and washed. And it's never going to begin until then. You can come and sit in that church all you want to, but till that cleaning process takes place, the learning process is not going to be there. We've got the lampstand. We've got the incense altar there. What a beautiful, beautiful setting that we come into once we get in there. But first of all, that judgment comes. Look into that mirror and see really who you are. And if you're honest with yourself, and the Word of God does just that, it's a mirror. It shows us how dirty and how filthy we are. And the more we study the Word of God, the more it's exposed, and the more we're able to do the cleaning and the cleansing, and then we can go in for the fellowship and on to the worship into the Holy of Holies at the Ark of the Covenant. So what a beautiful picture. Now we have the courtyard here. We don't have much time left, but we do have a courtyard here to deal with and to take a look at. And this courtyard now, we find, and as we've read through these verses from verse 9 to verse 17, we have a hanging, and it is 7.5 feet tall in height, but it's 100 feet long, or 100 cubits long. Well, that 100 cubits would convert then to 150 if we stay with the average cubit is about 18 inches. And so we're at 150 foot long, and then we found on down the width is in the 12th verse, and it's 50 cubits. And so you've got the north side and the south side, and then we have the east and the west. And so as we have this tent affair that encircles the courtyard of the tabernacle and the tabernacle itself. And so we find it to be 150 feet by 75 feet wide. Then we know that the tabernacle itself is some 15 foot wide and 45 feet long that sits within this area. Out front in this courtyard, encircled by these curtains, is the brazen altar and brazen laver. So you come through the door, through this gate, and you would come in, and the first thing you run into is the altar. Next thing you run into is the laver. And then on through the door into the tabernacle itself, into the holy place, then on to the Holy of Holies. And that's the steps of our life. That's the steps we need to take. Now, a couple of things, and we'll review this next time we come together, but I want you to see a couple of things very quickly. Number one, it is fine twined linen. We have the beautiful white linen once again. We also have the pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20. What sockets did we have in the tabernacle? Silver. What sockets do we have outside? We have brass. We're back to judgment. We still have this righteousness of Christ, the white, but we do deal with the judgment. Because you see, you can't come, there is no way to come into the tabernacle unless you come through the door of the courtyard, the gate. There's only one way. Only one. There is, you know, you hear this, oh, we all serve the same God, we're just coming from different directions. Well, my friend, this fence, this linen fence that encircles this is going to stop that. It's going to put it to an end. You can't come through there. You say, it's just 7.5 feet, it's just cloth, we can walk right through it. No, you can't. Because these brazen sockets, these poles, they will stop you because judgment ends right there. No one can come another way. You have to come through the gate. There's only one way, and that is to meet that altar first, and you can't do anything before then. And I can't impress that enough, because you may have been listening to this program for years, because we've been on for years. And I love it. I love the program. I love teaching the Word of God. And maybe still you're sitting there and you says, Larry, that's just not the way my church looks at it. Well, I'm not looking at your church. I'm not looking at the church that I have here. I am looking at the Word of God, because that's what matters. And hopefully my church and your church both agree with the Word of God. But see that it agrees with the Word of God and not with the Word of man. And we have such a beautiful picture here in these verses of Scripture. And so, again, we have 150 feet and it's 50 foot wide and it's of white linen. And then we have these brazen sockets that hold it up. There's one more thing. And again, we're out of time now, but there's one more thing I want you to see, because it is always present, and that is the silver fillets. The silver fillets that clips it together. We always come to the blood, don't we, my friend? Always come to the blood. And so please, please, I just love this study. We'll review this a little bit and get on to the gate of the courtyard next time. My dear friend, it's wonderful, just wonderful to be together. I hope you know Jesus. If you don't, ask him into your heart right now. And please begin that washing that you can have a wonderful time of fellowship with our Lord and with other believers. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?